Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yeah!
Bringing you Clippers news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah!
My co-host is laughing right now out of pain.
I almost just introduced myself as Chuck Mockler.
as I'm sure everyone's aware, the Clippers just dropped a heartbreaker 132-135 loss to the Mavs after an incredible Luka game winner. But we're going to be recapping this sort of the Friday-Sunday games weekend as a whole. We're going to talk about what went well for the team. There were some positive changes, so we're going to kind of kick things off on a positive note there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to kind of get into what went wrong and talk about some issues that have definitely surfaced over the last four games, as well as just kind of talk about how we're feeling overall, looking at the next, you know, 2 to 3 games.
We'll be good.
That are remaining in this series. And then in shavings, we opened up the hotline for everybody to send in some voicemails for their kind of reactions post-game. There's some pretty down stuff out there, guys. Let's try to keep things in stride.
Yeah. So you can also leave your message at 213-986-7354. Let's try and keep it to voicemails. Those are always fun. We've gotten some very depressing text messages. Let's put on wax, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Come at us with your takes. We always love to hear from everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to end this thing on a good note. So everybody buckle in. Let's talk some Clips.
Yeah. So the Clippers split the weekend. The series is now 2-2 with the Dallas Mavericks.
Right where we want them.
Right where we want them. Game 3 was a 131-122 win over the Mavs with an absurd Kawhi performance.
That's right.
Which was elite to see. 7 Clippers players in double figures. Clippers shot 52-41-81 as a team, which was great.
Incredible.
Team looked good.
Except for one player, but we'll talk about that later.
Game 4... 132-135 loss after a Luka game winner. I mean, Luka had 43-17-13. No Kristaps in this game.
Absolutely incredible. The second best playoff performance I've seen against the Clippers.
Yes. Hats off to Luka in this one. We wasted Lou Will's best offensive game of the bubble so far. We did manage to overcome a fourth quarter deficit with an interesting lineup, which we're going to talk about. Just the biggest narrative is there's some heat on Doc. Which we're going to talk about. Absolutely rightfully so. But let's get into what went well. And I think something that a lot of fans were happy with.
He made an adjustment.
He made one adjustment.
Doc made a game-to-game adjustment, adding Landry Shamet into the starting lineup, which I think a lot of you out there, and certainly we, were clamoring for.
Yes.
Great to see. He looked really, really good out there. His understanding of the playbook is fantastic, as you said.
It's so good. And he just knows, I mean, he gives us spacing.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to shoot the ball a little bit better, which is great to see, too. So it makes him more of a threat.
I was really impressed in that game 3, too, with just, how confident he was driving.
Yeah.
How he looked in transition.
He had a dunk.
His third on the year.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, so that was nice. And
he's also been averaging a steal a game, which I really like to see.
He's doing all the things. He's literally doing all the things you want Shamet to do if he's not hitting shots, which is helping facilitate the offense as a whole.
Yes.
Not trying to create too much. It was good.
He's deferring, but in the best of ways. He's deferring to get the ball into the hands of our best players. And he's helping Reggie play his best ball, too.
I mean, we'll talk
offensively.
About offensively. What else did we like from this weekend? What went well this weekend?
Kawhi, man.
Still here.
Despite, some other struggles, and we, definitely needed some other guys to kind of step up, especially in game 4, but even game 3 would be nice to have seen some kind of bigger bounce backs. But thanks to Kawhi, we've been able to weather some storms. He finished with 36-9-8 in game 3, added 2 steals.
Unreal.
32-9-4 in game 4, also added 2 steals. Would have loved to see maybe a little bit more in the OT, but he was doing his best, man.
He'd been doing a lot up to that point.
And I still think, one really, really good thing for the Clippers as we progress into these playoffs is I still don't think this is peak Kawhi.
No, he's still working up.
I still don't think we've seen peak Kawhi, especially defensively yet. He was kind of a, well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. But also, like, just another bright thing, especially in game four, was our bench improved. Our bench play was largely improved.
Yes.
This was mostly thanks to Lou Williams. But in game four, our bench outscored the Mavs bench 60-31. I mean, we still have some issues with this. The defense kind of still has to get sorted out or shored up somehow. yeah. Some of that is matchup based. Some of that, you know, is going to be a limitation of the personnel on that second unit.
Definitely. That's a good call. The matchup based stuff has kind of been the most frustrating thing for Clippers fans, for sure. And you know, game three, we still saw some of that matchup stuff, and it was kind of overshadowed from the win, which is good. But yeah, I mean, the bench play getting back, we just need it so bad, especially if we're just going to let the Mavs bench kind of look like starters against us. No disrespect to their bench, but
definitely
they had our number for the most
definitely
part.
Some of the issues in the non-Luka minutes have definitely been troubling. However, we talked about it a little bit up top, but I mean, I think that this is a double-edged sword, so don't skewer me for this one, but Reggie Jackson has offensively looked better.
Offensively, yes,
he has offensively looked better. Him being on that second unit is just exactly where he needs to be. And the biggest thing that I guess I like about this is that he opens up things for Lou Williams. Like when he's on that second unit,
yeah,
he demands a little bit of gravity. And he did finish with 14-4-2 in game four. I don't know. There was not great stuff defensively overall.
Horrible.
There was
say.
Definitely minutes that he should not have been on the floor in that game.
Perhaps the last one.
But, you know, like one bright thing to look forward to is at least this adjustment has been proving to be the correct move.
And so there was a time in game four, Reggie made up to that point the play of the game, which was he saved a ball from going out of bounds. He jumped, basically did a 180, found Kawhi with an absurd pass. Kawhi nails a three. The Clippers get all the momentum. Yes. That was the play of the game up to that point.
I also like the Lou Williams steal and then the immediate finish.
That's a good call. But yeah, I mean, I was after game three, we were both kind of like, all right, good win. Like, let's hope PG bounces back game four. It was nice to see Kawhi do his, I mean, just absurd Kawhi thing, which was great. I mean, we almost split this episode. We were like, oh, well, you know, there was so much basketball spaced out. Maybe we shouldn't do, you know, recap and then a recap. But we're splitting this up between what went well and what went wrong. And you can pretty much split that up between game three and game four. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
These were polar opposites of each other.
For sure.
And for the most part.
Got a couple of lucky breaks in game three. But
hey, you know what? The series is tied.
Series is tied at the end of the day. You know, I was really hoping to not split this road in air quotes series.
Yes.
But hey, this is where we are. So I think, do we have anything else for what went well? Do you want to end on one last positive thing?
I mean, I think this is as positive as we can end on it. Zoo still looking good. Marcus Morris still looking good. Hit a huge shot for the Clippers in game four.
Definitely.
It was his only three, but hey, what are you going to do? You know, I think we're going to talk about what didn't go well this weekend.
Definitely.
Coming up. But first,
you know, I've been in a lot of pain with this loss. Wait, is there any way to heal that?
I know a couple ways, but the most legal one I know is using CBDMD.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair during a pandemic. Hope you're getting hazard pay. Everyone needs the support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or squeeze tube that hopefully you're not sharing. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off. That's right. If you listen to Locked On Clips, you get 25% off your next order when you use
meaty
the promo
discount.
Code. Very meaty. When you use promo code NBA at checkout. One more time, that's CBDMD. Just go to CBDMD.com. Promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD.
Okay, so this is our part two of the Clippers' big weekend.
I'm loading the clip up right now.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
This is kind of the stuff we didn't like. And I think we're both in agreement on what the biggest one kind of
everyone in Clipper Nation is right now. Everyone in Clipper Nation is Doc is getting his ass handed to him coaching wise.
I have to agree.
And
part
of it is Carlisle. Part of it is Doc just going with trust,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of what he fallbacks on for some reason.
And there are to Doc's credit, a couple things that were not his fault. Obviously, he's not in control of Paul George's shooting.
Of course not. Which is also garbage right now.
Yeah, he also like is not in charge of some of the defensive effort that we saw in those second and third quarters. But to the getting out coached. There's some questionable lineup things happening.
What's the most glaring one that everyone can see? Because it's 7 feet, 11 inches tall.
Boban just being allowed to completely take a dump on this team in sometimes non-Luka minutes.
He just doesn't care. Just this weird thing where it's like, oh, Boban, there's no evidence to show that Boban is not destroying Trez every time they're on the court. There's no metric that can show that Trez is having success.
In game four, as soon as Zoo came off the floor with Boban in, Boban was plus +7 in his first 5 minute stretch. He was plus +6 in his next 6 minute stretch with no Zoo on the floor.
It's just crazy. And part of it, Trez can only do so much against the dude who's that much bigger than he is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, we're not saying like Trez needs to be defending Boban any better. Doc needs to not put Trez in a position to get killed on defense and maybe hurt his confidence.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Like,
it's a thing, and everyone's seeing it. We got some voicemails we're going to play from some people who also saw it. I mean, Joseph Rye Award who hosts a Clipset, by the way. Go check out Clipset. At the 6:49 mark in the second, the Clippers had a 20-point lead.
Yes.
Trez subbed in for Zoo. The Mavericks were on an 18-5 run. Their buckets, 2 pull-ups, 3 layups, 1 foul, and an offensive rebound, 1-3. The evidence is there that we just can't, we can't run these Lou Reggie Trez minutes.
It's just not a good matchup. Whatsoever.
It just doesn't work. We need to the switching is not working. Like, we need to trap. We need to do something because they're seeking out Reggie Jackson as they should.
I agree. The positioning overall is poor. There were definitely times where there were multiple defenders in front of the basket, but a lane was left wide open on a Luka drive. Who is it? Hardaway keeps getting these really easy cuts to the basket that are just
the
really
paint was
simple.
Wide open today.
Yes, it was. And the thing is like when we are actually in place to defend within 6 feet, the Clippers are a pretty elite team in terms of defended field goal percentage. The issue is that we're in the bottom four of actually getting teams into position to defend those types of shots.
Yeah.
And that's clearly to me a schematic issue. Maybe you can put some of it on effort. Sure. Fine. I think that definitely was some issue in here, but to say that it's all on the players, I think is completely asinine.
Let's talk about the offense too, because that's just the defense,
yes.
Which has been horribly frustrating. But you have some good stats on here about the offense.
So what are we doing with this offense, man?
general?
There's times when it's kind of a five out, but I mean, they're picking up Kawhi double teamed in the post. I'm not seeing a whole lot of cuts or movement. ISO is currently counting for 11% of our offensive possessions. Okay. And you know what? When you have a guy like Kawhi Leonard, you're going to have a higher number of ISO possessions. And theoretically, a guy like Paul George, you're going to have higher number of offensive possessions. But the issue is the scoring just hasn't been there. We're averaging 0.8 points per possession, which is in the 27th percentile of the league. That means we are the bottom third of the league in these types of possessions. Now, part of that you can chalk up to Paul George being in a very real shooting slump. Maybe that turns around. Maybe you need to give him the confidence. But I'm just saying it's not the most effective way to score for this team. In post-ups, we're in the 100th percentile of points per possession. We average 1.23 points per possession on those types of plays. Still only accounting for 6% of our total possessions. If we just take off 2% of these ISOs and try to feed somebody down low, you're looking at playing the margins on a much more effective level. And my biggest question is, and I alluded to this at the beginning, is this five out working? Is it even working?
So There was a time when it did in game four. There was like 8 minutes left in the fourth.
The fourth quarter, it did prove to be a lot more effective going small.
Yes. But the five-out lineup, when you run Reggie Jackson out there too, the weakness is Reggie just gets switched onto.
Yes. They were getting that issue. They were getting Luka on Reggie all day.
Luka, Doc won't do anything to change it. We haven't seen any trapping. We haven't seen less switching. We haven't seen guys trying to... It just feels like Doc is digging his heels in to be like, no, I trust this, so this is what we're going with. And you're like, dude, Boban's dunking on Trez's head. Reggie's getting switched onto every time. What's going on? He's like, no, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ride this out. It's so frustrating.
Here's my issue, right? And I will fess up that there was some severe energy and effort issues during those second and third quarters.
Absolutely.
However, it is completely absurd to put 100% of this on the players. Doc Rivers said in the post-game conference that the team was emotionally weak, which is what led to this loss. And I think that that is absolute bogus.
He took a tiny bit of responsibility. He was like, you know, my message didn't get delivered. Woo, 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 all that good stuff. But man, like, I don't know. That emotionally weak quote, I was just, as soon as he said it, of course, all the fantastic elite Clippers reporters, as they should. That's a tweetable quote.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, great. It was a loss in overtime.
That was the only reason. Sir? Sir?
Sir?
Just to me, it begs a bigger question. Has Doc Rivers lost this locker room?
I don't know if he's lost it. I think it's...
His hands are off the wheel. I will say that.
I don't know. We're gonna have to see how the team bounces back in game five for that.
Yeah.
But this quote does not help vibes.
I can't imagine.
Right?
I cannot imagine.
Another thing that's not really going well, we just got to talk about PG.
Yes.
We got to talk about PG. So, okay, look, you can't post memes and then piss your bed.
Yeah,
the next game.
I just don't. I mean,
you just can't.
That was such an embarrassing moment as a fan of this team.
So games 2, 3, and 4, here's his shooting splits. 3 of 14, 3 of 16, 4 of 17. Games 1, 2, 3, and 4, here's his free throw attempts. 3, 4, 4, and 2. So he's not going to the rim, even in the game he played well in game one.
Yep.
He's not even trying to shoot himself out of these slumps.
That's the thing.
Which is frustrating. It's
really disturbing to watch Paul George have an open look and not take it.
Yeah.
Or do a half-ass drive to like the middle of the paint.
And then
pass out. Like not even go all the way. Dude, if the lane is open, go!
And even if it's not, get to the line. Yes. 2 free throw attempts?
Yeah.
In game 4?
It's inexcusable. It's just inexcusable.
And so...
I get shooting slumps. That makes sense to me. I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can get in a huge moment, coming back from an injury, having terrible luck through the first round of the playoffs in the Western Conference historically. I get it. Find other ways to score.
Find some other ways to score. This is either a lingering knock situation or fully mental.
So coming into this...
Your poison, right? Like, it's like, they're both not good.
coming into this, with the ice and the terrible performances after a good performance, you know, we were kind of starting to wonder, should we be worried about this shoulder thing?
Yeah.
I still don't fully know the answer on that. I can't truly say one or the other. I am erring more towards yes. We should be maybe a little worried. But, you know, it's still... I guess a small sample size, 3 back-to-back games.
You know, it's easy. There was one positive in the post-game presser. He did say in game 5 he's going to try and work inside out for his points. So let's hope that happens.
Let's hope. Yeah, there was a 20-minute stretch. This will be my last complaint on Paul George. There was a 20-minute stretch through quarters 2 and 3 where obviously, you know, he had a break in there to kind of get his head right. 0 points.
Yeah, man. It's looking rough for PG. And then, so I got to harp on another Doc thing real quick. Doc said at 10:15 in the morning on Sunday, August 23rd, the year 2020, he wants to avoid the Reggie Lou defensive pairing, but not as much as he wants to avoid Shamit and Reggie. Smash cut to the last possession of overtime, where he decides to put Reggie and Sham in. These are the decisions that are frustrating fans. Where you're like, you're contradicting yourself. You're trying to avoid something, but then you're running face first into it. Like, you're choosing to put yourself in these positions.
Not having more stoppers on the play in that final possession for the Mavs in OT was, I don't know. Like, I really don't understand the logic behind it.
He needs to adjust. It's just like, I don't know. All right. Then we got to talk the Trez thing.
Yeah. So, basically, where has our other six man of the year gone?
He's playing through some stuff.
He is playing through some stuff, but he's not playing through it very well.
Damn. Ruthless from William the Opinion Updike. Jesus.
During the regular season, he averaged 18-7-6. Okay. In the four games that he's played, he has scored 2 points, 13 points, 10 points, and 6 points.
Okay.
He has not secured more than 2 rebounds in any game.
Which is because he's having a battle for rebounds against fucking Boban.
Yes.
Like part of this is Doc just refusing to put Trez in positions to succeed.
I'm
not sure what they exactly are, but it's when Boban's not on the floor.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. And Carlisle, just as soon as Trez comes out, puts Boban in, which, hey, why not?
Oh, why wouldn't you? If it's working, why would you not?
But yeah, we got to figure out how to get some more offensive production. I mean, Zoo played more minutes than Trez in game 4 by 4.
Which is good.
I think it'll open up next series because he won't be playing someone like Boban. But, you know, he's still kind of ramping up. I think game 5 is what we look out for, right? Like game 5 is where I think we can see a Trez game where it's like, oh, grabbing boards, getting to the line a little more, mm-hmm. hopefully making the free throws.
He doesn't get calls, which is difficult.
Also, side point, here's something I don't like. Every time Zoo gets a rebound, it just feels like the Mavs are trying to push him out of bounds.
Agreed.
We got
out-rebounded so hard in this game 4.
How are we feeling after this weekend? As a whole, not just after this game at 12:30. As a whole.
So, here's my thing. I feel like there are positive things that are boding well for the Clippers. I do think in the scheme of teams that we will play, mm-hmm. You got to give so much credit to this Mavs team for, A, the depth of the team, despite being down multiple guys.
Oh,
they've
yeah.
had a bunch of guys really step up, which I feel like you do have to give credit to the Mavs. And that's,
absolutely.
Know, Clippers don't have control of that. So that, you know, that feels good. I guess my concern is like the exact same thing that it's been through every loss, which is, how are we going to make adjustments? Are we willing to make adjustments?
That's the biggest part.
And what will be the result of those?
Are we, Doc, willing to make adjustments?
Yes.
I'm feeling, you know, I don't know, fine. I've eaten 3 Kraft singles.
The sky is not falling
while we're recording this. But yeah, it's 2-2. You know, we got a good 24 hours or so to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
Hey, let's wait till we get to game 5 to truly freak out.
Let's catch him in the next one.
Yeah, we'll get there. We know what it is. Coming up, hey, the phone lines have been opened, and did people call. We're going to be playing some fantastic voicemails from Clippers fans. But first, Will, I'm starving. All I've been eating the past 4 days is Kraft singles.
Well,
my insides are a little goofy. How can I get this ship right?
The thing is you got to check out Built Bar protein bars.
Hell yeah.
I eat them when I don't have enough time to make a breakfast. Mm-hmm. But that's when I'm on the go. I legitimately just keep one in my backpack at all times.
That's a good call.
You never know where your next meal could come from. Built Bar has recently improved. They're better. They're more delicious. They now come in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. They have all your favorite classic flavors as well. And the thing about Built Bars that is great is they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for keto diets. 19 grams of protein in these bad boys. And right now, you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, to get $10 off your next order. That's right. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, welcome to shaving / just a good old-fashioned bowl sesh. You can leave. We got the voicemail thing back up. Clippers fans are heated. You can always leave your message at 213-986-7354. Again, not to be weird, just leave a voicemail. Text message. That feels a little weird if I'm just being honest. The first one we have is from Corey DiBiase. He has some. We got some couple thoughts on Bev. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, this is Corey DiBiase from Twitter. No more minutes restrictions. I don't care. Pat Bev come back Tuesday. No more minutes restrictions. Trez, no more minutes restrictions. Okay, Doc's got to take control of the offense and just the whole thing. Great podcast. Love y'all.
All right. So,
man, Bev does need to come back. I don't think I'm disagreeing with that at all.
Obviously, we do need Bev back. Do we think that this is the loss that kind of makes it more of a necessity for him to come back? Or are you willing to wait out two more games?
I'm not willing to wait out two more games.
Really?
I'm willing to wait out maybe one.
Okay.
Shams looked good with yes. starters and whatnot.
Yeah.
Maybe Bev comes back. Maybe, you know, if he's not 100% ready, but the Clippers are still like, damn, we need Bev to come back. Give him 15 minutes off the bench. Bev's got to get right.
Definitely. He definitely has to get right.
I'm just, man, I don't know.
And, you know, it's a difficult thing. I don't think there should be, like, no minutes restrictions on Bev. but I would like him, I don't know, I would like him to come back. I'm willing to wait out maybe one or two more games, depending on how things go.
Yeah.
So my thing is like, I don't think that a 10-ish to sub 15 minutes of Pat off the bench are really the best utilization, especially if he's not even at 100%.
That's fair.
We shouldn't need Bev as a stopper on second units.
But we do, it seems like.
But we do. You know, the defensive personnel isn't there, and I wish that overall the offense had been more productive so we could kind of mitigate some of those defensive issues.
Yeah.
But I guess I struggle with, like, is that really the best use of Bev?
That's
fair. Part-time second unit. I don't necessarily think so, but, you know, I would love to have him back, period.
Some capacity, sure. And then coming up, we have an anonymous friend who just, you know, he just has some zoo thoughts.
I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. I feel like the whole world is understanding the fact that, you know, every time Boban is in, Zubac needs to be in. I just don't get it. The whole world understands it except for one person. That person is Doc Rivers. You know what I mean? Boban is just absolutely having his way this series with the undersized Harrell. And that's not a knock on him because we love Harrell. We love his intensity. You know, we love, you know, the energy he brings. But that matchup is just crazy. It's crazy. And I don't get how nobody else on that Clippers staff is saying anything. You know, Boban is absolutely doing what he wants with Trez, and it's not even close. Not even close. And here's my hot take. At this point, Patrick Beverley just needs to suit up. All right? He just needs to buck up, and whatever injury he's going through, he just needs to buck up and play. You know, because it's obvious, man, that Clippers team is missing his energy. They're missing, you know, what he brings to the table, you know, and they just look lost. So those are my two takes right there. Doc just needs to pull his head out of his ass. And anytime Boban's on the floor, match his minutes with Zoo. I'd even put Patterson in there, or I'd even put Joe Kim in there. And, of course, you know, Patrick Beverley, man, he just needs to suit up, man. You know, it's kind of like all hands on deck kind of thing. All right? Clipper Nation. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that's kind of like the overall kind of same vibe that a lot of Clippers fans have right now.
Yes.
He wants Bev to suit up again. The Joakim note is interesting.
Yeah, so I guess I'm surprised. I mean, it wasn't Zoo's best game. He wasn't like the most efficient finishing. But I am, I guess, a little bit curious why, at least in Boban minutes, we're not throwing, you know, Joakim or just some other looks out there. I don't know. If you're hesitant to keep Zoo in because you're worried about his conditioning, maybe you're worried
despite
about
despite praising it in a recent press conference.
Or, you know, you're worried about the foul trouble or something. If something is just like the... To me, the issue is the mismatch is just so glaring with Trez out there.
That's the thing. You're staring at the sun every time those two are out there together.
Yeah. So, I mean, like... I don't know. Doesn't it merit trying something?
You would think. This is what I was saying about Doc and the trust thing and like kind of digging his heels in. Our friend from the Bahamas, who really is, I don't know, I'd like to go visit the Bahamas, watch a Clippers game down there with apparently one of the three Clippers fans out there, has some more Doc thoughts.
Hey, guys. It's Red from the Bahamas, one out of the only three Clippers fans in the country. All right? Now, I've been a long-time Clippers fan for well over a decade, and I am frustrated, man. I am tired of Doc Rivers not getting the smoke that he deserves when it comes to rotations and this coaching decisions. To me, he has been an overrated coach. He got lucky in Boston with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. He has squandered countless opportunities with the Clippers, right? And that's why I've been worried, and I haven't really been too hopeful of the team making it all the way this year, because I know what happens to Doc Rivers' teams when it comes to performing in the playoffs. So, hey, I'm ready to sign a petition for there to be a coaching change after this season, because it's about damn time, man. All right? So, hey, they got to sign themselves, be a head coach. I'll take that. All right? That's something Sam said he wanted to do. During his last year when he played for the Clippers, he said he wanted to be the coach of the Clippers one day. So, hey, Ballmer, do what's right, bro. Anyway, guys, love the show. Take care.
Oof. Wow.
Peter.
So, I don't want to overreact to four games, is my thing. I don't want to overreact to four games. I know that we've definitely had questions about the rotations. And the thing is while there have been issues, you know, the adjustment to Shamit gives me some hope in that starting lineup that there is, you know, at least a little bit of a willingness to try something.
Yeah. One adjustment might mean two.
Yeah. And I don't know. We have also seen, the flip side of this though, too, right? Like we have kind of seen Doc coach teams really well. I mean, looking to the playoff series last year, I thought that was a really good job of how they were able to mitigate some of KD's stuff through at least two games to come away with two tough road wins. But yeah, I don't know. If this Clippers team doesn't make a Western Conference final, I think it's time. We just have to ask some very serious questions.
I think the petition comes out, as he's referenced, the sign of petition. And then finally, fantastic Twitter follow, Dominic C., has some more Doc thoughts, and then kind of an interesting Seth Curry PG idea.
Yo, this is Dominic from Twitter. You know I had to talk about this game. Please tell me Doc is not going to be the coach next year. If we lose a series, he needs to be fired immediately. But honestly, to save his job, he needs to get no less than the Western Conference Finals, because this is ridiculous. His rotations are trash all series, and he's been out-coached the entire series. Carlisle has literally took his lunch. So we need to figure this out. And also with PG, I'm not going to overreact with that. I mean, shoot, we have bad games. Shooters do. But something seems up with him. Something seems either in his head or he's hurt. I'm hoping he's not hurt. But I don't know if this has something to do with Steph Curry getting his head or what. But I need him to get it together, because it's not fair that Kawhi has to take on this whole role by himself. Anyway, man, you guys stay safe, man, and, you know, appreciate what you guys do. Bye.
So he says he hopes he's not hurt, obviously. Okay, this is a bit of an Us Magazine take, but could there maybe be a Seth Curry PG in his head issue, or is that just overblown?
I hope that they play the video and have the broadcaster's commentary anytime they're talking about the marriage of Seth Curry and Doc's daughter, because they, no lie, mention it like five times every single game.
Who paid for the wedding? How do you do pickup basketball? Did you guys know? It's horrible. He doesn't want Doc next year. He's not worried about PG. So the thing about PG is, like, I can see the not worry. I just want to see the shots go up. Like, he took 8 threes this game, which would have liked to see 10, whatever. But he did take 10 the game before.
Yeah.
So, like, at least from three-point range, the shots are still kind of going up.
Yeah,
he just doesn't look into it.
A lack of like confidence or just general enthusiasm to me is like far more dispiriting than even the misses.
Yeah.
Dude got a broken ass spirit out there.
Yeah. Let's get the spirit right. Let's get in Trez's sauna. you know, catch a couple of bass or whatever they got in those lakes. But we're going to end this episode. Look, everyone in Clipper Nation, let's take a few deep breaths, right?
Yeah.
It's a tie series. We're playing what I believe, I'm not so sure on this, it might be the most efficient offense of all time that the Mavs had. I'm not sure. We're playing a wunderkind. We're playing another dude, and Chris Porzingis, who's great.
This, I mean, and their entire bench has really stepped up. This, you know, this is a fantastic. This is a solid Mavs team. This is a much better team than I really fully gave them credit for.
Yes, Kawhi's averaging 33, 10, and 5. Still getting the full Kawhi. Marcus Morris is elite. Lou is ramping up back to old Lou levels. It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right. We're gonna see what happens on Game 5 Tuesday's episode. We're going to have a Game 5 preview against the Mavs. Twitter Tuesday, so send in those playoff questions. We know you got a couple. And then, of course, whatever else happens to you now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people find us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app on Apple. You can also find us on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm sure you can find Locked On Clips. And if you can, well, I guess let us know. You can also always click in the link that we put out on Twitter. You can listen to the show directly there. But please, if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. We love it. It really helps us out. Leave a rating or review if you feel so inclined. We'd love to know what you think. So, yeah, check us out.
Hey, you know, here's to a new day.
Yeah, definitely. Sky's not falling.
Sky's not falling. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.